The following presentation is brought to you by the Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to adult website entrepreneur Colin Rowntree. Rowntree, the founder of the porn site Wasteland.com, and whose wife Angie founded the women's porn site Shh.com, is back with something new, Bootigo.com, a porn search engine. Stick around. Of course, you'll never search the engine for porn. No one said you would. No one. So why so nervous, Joe? So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Amazon.com. When you visit MrMedia.com and click on any of the links to purchase books, music, movies, gift certificates, or anything else through our Amazon link, you support this free video podcast. Whenever you need something else from Amazon, please consider returning to MrMedia.com to order it. It doesn't cost you any extra, and we sure appreciate the support. And don't forget, MrMedia.com has more than 1,200 celebrity audio and video interviews archived on the site. That's hundreds upon hundreds of hours free entertainment. Subscribe for free on MrMedia.com, and you'll instantly get an email every time a new interview is posted. You can also watch and subscribe to the show on YouTube, Vimeo, Dailymotion, The Realm Network, and Frequency.com. And if you prefer to just listen, Mr. Media is also available for free on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Podfeed.net, and Player FM. You can subscribe to any of those services and never miss another episode. Finally, you can interact with Mr. Media interviews on all kinds of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and more. Friend or follow us, we'll friend or follow you back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience full of men and women, okay, mostly men, with pretty average sexual appetites, whom the Department of Homeland Security has already identified via geosynchronous positioning satellites orbiting high above my living room in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Apparently, it all comes down to dick pics. When comedian John Oliver went to Russia a few weeks back to talk to NSA document leaker Edward Snowden about how the National Security Administration monitors the flow of data created and transmitted by American residents, the host of HBO's Last Week Tonight found the perfect way to alarm U.S. citizens about the government's latest invasion of privacy. Dick pics. Now, I won't go into all the extended details here because you can find the interview easily enough on YouTube by searching John Oliver and, yes, I'm going to say it again, dick pics. The point is that even if you and your partner think you're only sharing your intimate anatomical photographs with each other, there is a pretty good chance the watchers can see your goodies too, if they should choose, once the data crosses international boundaries. You're welcome, America. What does that have to do with today's Mr. Media interview? Well, my guest knows a thing or two about searching the internet for dirty pictures, and how most people doing that like to keep their internet searches private. Colin Rowntree is the founder of the porn website Wasteland.com. His wife, Angie Rowntree, is the proprietor of a female-oriented porn site, Shh.com. And yes, I just like saying that.
But spell it, Bob.
SSSH.com.
Thank you.
Beyond that, Colin Rowntree recently launched Bootigo.com, a search engine exclusively devoted to adult interests. You can use it to search the web, Tumblr, Blogspot, and ClipsForSale.com for whatever floats your boat, and you can do it with some measure of privacy. Now, whether you're interested in porn or not, and I don't think you'd be watching this far if you were not, I think you'll find that Rowntree will make the case that all Americans are entitled to a measure of privacy, whether sharing their, here we go again, dick pics, or researching the earliest references to granny panties. Certainly, he's a porntrepreneur, but he's one with legitimate concerns about the potential renewal of the Bush-era Patriot Act, data mining, and more. Now, this is Rowntree's second appearance on Mr. Media. And I'm going to strongly suggest here that while this may, in part, be a conversation about the NSA and, yes again, dick pics, it will likely get into graphic, adult-oriented topics. So if you're under 21, please, please, find something else to watch on Mr. Media. I don't want to hear complaints from your mommy or Big Brother. Colin Rountree, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Good to be here, Bob.
Good to have you. Now, not that I'm paranoid much, but do you have a conversation like this, assuming that it's about as private as Bruce Jenner coming out to on ABC to Diane Sawyer?
Yeah, that's pretty much an accurate depiction of it. We are so wired into the internet, social media. The internet is watched continuously by, not just the NSA for dick pics, but Big Brother is everywhere, be it Google, Bing. There's a cool little tool that I've got on my Chrome browser that tells me exactly who's watching what I'm doing. And strangely enough, one of the longest lists of things down the side, if I go to CNN to read the news, there's over 37 people that are spying on my behavior and mining my data while I'm reading the news. It's really quite remarkable.
And why did you even have that available? Were you that concerned about it? Are you just curious? Are you paranoid? What's it about?
No, I was just curious because, one of the primary reasons why we started Bootigo a couple of years ago, a small group of us at Wasteland and Shush, we're talking about, user privacy. It's one thing, if you go to Amazon and buy a pair of brown shoes and they know that you now like brown shoes, so every place you go on the internet forever, those brown shoes will follow you around. We've all been through that sort of thing, but which is fine with brown shoes. But when it comes to things like, Ukrainian tap dancing, amputee midget fisting porn, you might not want to have that being logged in with the Big Brother, corporate behemoths for deep data, that's one of the things that you're looking for. Because, strangely enough, I think my favorite one was a woman comes up to her husband and says, "Honey, I was going to go to Amazon today, and it completed my searches, amazing Amazon big boobed girls, teens. There's something you want to tell me?" So a lot of the reason why we did this was for the consumer, so they could just have a safe place to go and look for things and not be mined within an inch of their life. That doesn't say that once they click off and go to some sort of big boob Amazon site that somebody else isn't going to mine it. But, frankly, the porn industry does not do anywhere near as much deep data mining. So, unless you're going to a tube, which is a good place to have your data mined, most porn sites aren't capturing that. They've mostly just got Google Analytics on to see, what's going on with their metrics. So we designed it from the bottom up with that in mind. And at this point, it's all encrypted search. People come, they go. We maintain absolutely no information about our users. There's no login required. There's no email. It's completely and totally anonymous. And, a couple of months ago, we started expanding out beyond just porn into legal marijuana. So we have a huge number of search results for legal and medical and recreational marijuana at this point. And, a lot of people that are surfing, if they lived in, Seattle, Washington, and they want to find a repository of some sort, they really don't want to do it on Google, especially if they're at work or something like that, so that, they can go to Bootigo, and find these things and not leave a little data trail behind them. So
Bootigo can be searched for things beyond big hands, tiny tushes?
Sure. You can search for anything. We've spidered over 6 million websites at this point, most of them being of adult interest, because it all works by finding a site about adult interest, like a weed story reviews site. And our spider then follows it out to all the listings that are doing like weed store reviews, similar with porn. But there are, other things out there. I mean, we have a full database of sex toys and pleasure products and things like that. Vaping seems to be a big thing right now that people are, I don't know why they would want an encrypted search for vaping, but some people like to be anonymous in what they're doing, and more power to them.
So it's see, I thought it was more about adult images and video, but you're saying you could use it for anything, but you're finding that people are using it for things that maybe they want to search for in general, but they don't want to be tracked.
Yeah, exactly. You know, our counterpart that's been around a bit longer than us is called DuckDuckGo, and that's becoming a preferred browser for a lot of people that are just searching for mainstream stuff that they don't want their data being mined. You know, DuckDuckGo is not slanted in any way towards porn. I think it, in fact, sort of suppresses it. But, you know, that's our kind of counterpart on the mainstream side for people that like some privacy.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so it's a little broader than I thought. Because I was going to – I mean, one of the questions I had for you is it's not like it's hard to find porn. it's unfortunately, if you have kids, anyone who's got kids knows it's way too easy to find it. You know, as an adult and as a parent, you kind of wish that there was some way to make it a little harder to find. So my question is, and I would think most people hearing that you've started this site for, let's say, for adult interests, you know, why was it necessary? I mean, isn't it that easy to find that stuff?
Well, this is kind of us being good corporate citizens in a way, and altruistic, is at least if we lead with a positive example of being a porn company that's trying to do something to make it more difficult for kids to access the stuff. Our spider specifically looks for a lot of variables in who gets the top listing. And ones that have got an adult warning page or any kind of an age verification process, they get pushed to the top. If they've got the restricted to adult tag that's freely available to all webmasters, that bumps them up. If it's just some illegal stolen tube site with no adult warning, that gets pushed to the bottom. So, you know, we're doing our best to try to have kind of legitimate and responsible site owners, you know, have the top listings. We also do malware and virus scrubs on anything that we spider to detect for that. And if we detect anything funny going on, they don't even get on the listings at all.
Do you require people signing in to be 21?
No, there's a, you know, once you get there, there'll be a little window pop up, you know, verifying that you are 21 and agree to the terms and conditions of use, and that's it. I mean, you know, because the other side of the sword on that is if we were to have some kind of a sign up and age verification process, what are we doing?
Collecting information.
We're mining data. So.
Interesting. And you were saying before that most of the adult sites, the porn industry, does not mine data other than Google Analytics. I'm a little suspect of that. That you're saying that they don't, because
I'm not saying that they don't. I pretty much every webmaster in adult at this point is using Google Analytics heavily, not to try to identify the actual consumers that come through, but to just how much time is on the site, how far did people drill down, what are their better keywords, that kind of analytics. But that's not the same as going to the point of requiring a sign in and setting cookies and all of these tracking methods that Amazon and things like that do. Frankly, the porn industry is so battered at this point economically, they couldn't afford to do that. You know, we're just all kind of trying to stay in business because of the piracy on the tubes that have decimated the economy in the porn industry.
Is it that piracy has been brutal on it, or is it things like YouPorn and Clips for Sale, where they're just, you know, instead of you having to buy a DVD or whatever, I mean, you get 10 seconds or 10 minutes and you don't really need to buy anything.
It's a combination of both. I mean, the piracy issue is just rampant and horrible. But like the YouPorns and the RedTubes and things like that, even if it is legally uploaded content, because, you know, my studio, Wasteland, and most other studios, we upload clips. You know, they may be 5 minutes long, and we get some branding out there because you need to go where the eyeballs are to get people to associate your brand with quality. Where we run into the problem is all of these anonymous user-generated ones that were stolen from some member area. They're putting up 30-minute clips until we find them and have them taken down through a takedown notice. You know, that's what's really hurting it. It's not so much the short, free tube clip model, which we supply and, you know, happy to split the revenue with the tubes, is the user-generated content where it's just wholesale ripping of sites and uploading.
Is this,
that's what's hurting the industry the most at this point.
There's been this general viewpoint, I think, for years that the rapid development of the internet, particularly 10, 15 years ago, was because people were searching for porn and finding porn online. Has it not turned out to be the gold mine for people in the porn business that it once was thought to be?
Well, I think 2008 was kind of the Armageddon for the porn industry, because during that 1 year, we had the collapse of the banking system and credit card thing and all the mortgages and economics and the growth, the explosion of the tubes. So suddenly you've got a lot of people that don't have credit cards or any room on their credit cards. Their house has been foreclosed on. But, oh, look, here's this cool new thing called YouTube or YouPorn. Let's go watch it for free. And that gradually began training people that it should be free so they don't expect to ever have to buy anything. And that's then the result is what we've got today. You know, a very crippled economy within the legitimate adult industry. The tubes, I mean, they're basically they're marketers. It doesn't matter if it's porn or if it's kittens on the piano. The content is there to engage the user to keep coming back, and then they don't even have to click on the ads. It's called CPM or impression marketing. So when you go to a porn tube, you'll see like little blue penis pills, or you want to fuck a granny, or things like that. That advertiser isn't paying by the click, they're paying by the number of impressions. And if you can even imagine how much traffic goes through the tubes, they're spending a bundle on it. But it's little blue pills and want to flirt with a granny and not want to buy a porn movie.
So are you in the wrong business now?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's still fun. We still make a very good living off of it, but it's certainly not like it was back in the glory days of the early 2000s when, you know, money was just falling out of the heavens like a biblical plague of locusts.
I remember the point at which I became aware of things like YouPorn and RedTube was actually Howard Stern. One day his radio show, even when it was on broadcast, had always been a big promoter of porn, DVDs and film, VHS before that, because they talk to the stars, they talk to the actresses, they talk about different titles and the outrageousness of the titles and things. And then suddenly one day he started saying, yeah, I haven't been getting that stuff anymore. I don't need it because I can just go online and get, you know, 5 minutes of this and 10 minutes of that. And I can see exactly what I want. I get to the good parts. You know, it's like Mr. Skin, you know, fast forwarding to the good parts. And, I kind of wondered if that had a big impact.
Well, I mean, Mr. Skin, that's a very legitimate operation. That's Jim. Jim in Chicago runs that. And the major motion pictures, they send him caseloads of DVDs every week. And they go through and find the little three-minute clips of somebody's naked butt or a boob shot and things like that. But to see that, you need to have become a paying member of Mr. Skin to watch that. That's a whole lot different than bookmarking RedTube and going back. Because nobody really is benefiting from RedTube except RedTube. It's not helpful to the porn industry. It's not helpful to the studios, and the studios are the ones that pay the crew and the cast and the porn stars. And, you know, without some revenue coming in, you know, the industry has had a hard time, you know, keeping up with quality and innovation. So, I mean, and you know, the Howard Stern thing, that really kind of pisses me off. There was a similar thing that happened with Samuel L. Jackson last year. The release of, was it X-Men or what was it? Captain America.
Winter Soldier.
And you know, we were watching a press conference that had all of the principal actors. There were maybe seven or eight of them plus the directors up there. And the question from the interviewer was, if you were to tell Captain America after he came out of sleep for 45 years or whatever it was, what a significant thing that he's been missing and is going to love now was it? And they went down the line with the Beatles and you know all the kind of usual things. Then Samuel L. Jackson just kind of looked down and said, RedTube. You know, and the hypocrisy of that, Mr. Jackson, is such that you make a lot of money as an actor. You expect to get paid to make those movies. Now, if there was Captain America movie or any Samuel L. Jackson movie that went up on a tube, like YouTube or things like that, in its full-length format in HD and nobody would ever have to buy it, how would you feel, Mr. Jackson? You know, there's a duplicity there. It's like for Hollywood, it's okay to red tube for porn, but don't steal my movie.
It sounds like the response should have been from you or someone. Pornos on a plane, you know. I'm so sick of those goddamn pornos on a plane. You know, if anybody's missing it, Snakes on a Plane.
Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah.
Snakes on a Plane.
I'm going to make two other points. One is the disembodied voice we've heard occasionally. That is Angie Roundtree. Hi, Angie.
Hi. Sorry, I'll be quiet now.
No, I just wanted to explain why there was another voice coming out. That was fine. We're delighted to have you, of course. And also, Angie and Colin have been on the show together. You can find that in the archives. Also in the archives, since we mentioned Mr. Skin, he's actually one appearance ahead of Colin. He's been on Mr. Media three times, so you can find three Mr. Media interviews with Mr. Skin. It's a giant meeting of the misters. That doesn't sound right. Tell me, where does the name Boudigo come from?
Our partners on the project are programmers. And I don't know if you know programmers, many of them or any of them, but they're kind of an unusual bunch of people. And they think these great complex thoughts that nobody really knows what they mean. And so we just had a open, between the five of them and the three of us on our side of the business, just started throwing out ideas. And they all thought the best name in the whole world was Boudigo. And I said, why? He said, well, I don't know. It's cute. It's funny. It sounds sort of like booty, but it's not really booty because it's B-O-O-D-I-G-O. And I said, you know, I see no reason why not to. It's cute. It's catchy. It's easy to understand. It probably translates into some kind of bin hex programmer code for meaning I am God or something. I don't know, but that's where it came from. But the kind of nice unanticipated consequence of that is Boudigo, the prefix booty goes so well with everything. So we have our staff meetings.
Only a man in your business would say that so smoothly.
Our weekly staff meetings are booty hangouts. Our ad platform is booty ads. Our blogging platform that we're releasing next month for free posting for adult bloggers is called Booty Blogs. We've got a Boudigo news and information service called Booty Go-Go. And, you know, it's just booty time.
So where do you go for booty? Boudigo.
Boudigo.
I get it. It's just ridiculously appropriate. I mean, who knew what Google was 15 years ago, right?
I don't think there was anything.
It was
a misspell of something, I think.
Yeah, it was some kind of meeting, but I mean, didn't mean anything to most people. But you got it immediately. It was pretty easy to remember.
Absolutely.
All right, let's come back to where we started the conversation. Tell me, have you had a lot of firsthand run-ins with First Amendment issues in the government because of what you do, or is it a concern of yours because of the industry, the general industry that you're in?
We actually have great success dealing with government and law enforcement and things like that. We're actually the very first adult search engine or adult anything that is approved by Microsoft to use their platform that was developed for the National Association of Missing Children. So that supplies our back end with a database that when we go spider these sites, if it spots an underage, by the identifiers underage, it reports it back to the authorities. I mean, they're loving it because we're helping them police the thing. You know, and Google uses that same technology. But I was quite surprised. They said, we would love to have you use this technology, not just to find missing children, but to also spot exploited children on the internet. As far as the government or the NSA or whatever, I'm sure they're well aware that we exist, but it's very, very clear on everything on the website is we don't maintain any data. You know, we have no data on anybody. So, in fact, we're trying to provide a safe haven for people with legal interests to look for adult goods and services. So, knock on wood, so far so good. But even if they did come knocking on the door, we have no data to give them.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think of the John Oliver, Edward Snowden conversation?
I loved it. I've watched it five times. That was so great. And the thing that was wonderful, the whole show was wonderful, and John Oliver is just great. But when he transitioned it to the dick pic, that's what sold it home. And on the Man on the Street interviews, it's like, nobody knew who Edwin Snowden was, and or Snowden, and oh, who cares if they're looking at my private stuff? Oh, what about dick pics? Oh, that's a whole thing. So John Oliver just pulled a real bunny out of his hat on that, and looked at Edward Snowden looked like he was having a good time.
Yeah, it was weird because there were a few moments where it was kind of a snore up until he brought that out, and you could see suddenly. You're right. The man on the street interviews, it got their attention. There were some moments where, you know, I was afraid that Snowden looked like he was getting ready to rabbit out of there because, you know, Oliver was challenging him on some things. And then once they turned the topic to the dick pics, it was kind of like Snowden was like, oh, my God, you get it.
You get it. Yep.
Yeah. I'm not a horrible criminal. I'm a guy who just made the American public understand what privacy is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you've watched it five times, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely love it.
You have odd taste in videos.
No, I've got HBO Go.
And what about the, you know, how would you explain, if you don't mind taking this, how would you explain the overall adult entertainment industry's point of view on what the NSA has been accused of, what Snowden's released, what the potential there for maybe misdeeds is? Is it, you know, can you address the industry's concern?
Well, I think the industry's concerns are probably the same as John Q. Public. You know, everybody's concerned. You know, we don't have any compelling topics or issues that would concern us about NSA and Patriot Act and anything that are any different than anybody else. You do have specific little isolated things which happen along the lines. I don't know if you've ever heard of Operation Choke Point. It's part of the Patriot Act, and it's a thing where the government is instructing merchant banks and even, you know, regular your local bank that you bank at not to do business with certain types of people. And it's supposed to be to fight terrorists and money laundering. Well, guess what happened about 6 months ago? A whole bunch of L.A. porn stars with their little bank down the street that they've got an ATM thing and a savings account got thrown out because they were known pornographer or known porn performers. Now, there's something just really wrong about that. But because of the intense amount of surveillance and knowing everybody knows who everybody is because of the Facebooks and the Twitters and all of that, very, very easy to run a scan on, you know, on your local savings and loan client database and say, oh, here's a pornographer. Oh, there's another pornographer. Oh, there's a porn star. Oh, there's another porn star. And just send them letters saying, you got to leave. So that's the one isolated thing which is very specific to adult. But I think beyond that, we have the same general concerns as everybody else, you know, as far as the sheer amount of data that's being mined, not just by the NSA. I mean, the NSA is the NSA. That's its charter. But the charter of the Googles and the Amazons and things like that, because they are either privately held or corporations, they don't have anything preventing them from doing anything short of class action lawsuits. And who is going to come up with a big enough war chest, aside from a couple of European countries, to go after the Googles and things like that to get them to, you know, tighten up their security and limit the amount of data that they can maintain about people? So, and that's the only way to get it to stop. I mean, you don't vote for people that run a corporation. I mean, you can vote with your feet and not go there, but it is what it is.
You had brought to my attention, I'm surprised that I wasn't aware of it, that the Patriot Act is up for renewal, I guess, around June 1st.
Yep.
Do you care whether it's renewed or not? Do you have any thoughts pro and con, for example?
Well, I mean, the pro as far as the Patriot Act is kind of the same pro as the RICO Act. Okay, we've discovered a drug smuggling ring and we can now bust them and take away their houses and throw them all into jail without individually trying them. That's helpful, except with RICO when there's a mistake in RICO and it destroys people's lives. Patriot Act is the same thing. All well and good that we're going to be, you know, trying to keep planes from flying into buildings and bombs from going off and, you know, evildoers coming in the country. But what happens with the false positives? What happens to the people that get caught up because they made a joke on Twitter or whatever? And then you've got the other weird thing. I don't know if you saw the news this morning about that church in, or that place in Texas had a cartoon contest for drawings showing Allah, and it was a drive-by shooting at it.
Right.
You know, Americans are just so fucking stupid sometimes. I mean, why would you do that? Yes, I know you run a church and it's blah 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 blah, but you know, don't thumb your nose at people and expect something bad not to happen, and expect for the Patriot Act is going to protect you, because it's not. So I mean, there's good sides to the Patriot Act, and there's also bad sides to the Patriot Act. Is it balanced? I think it needs to be looked at much the way that the DMCA, the Digital Media Copyright Act from 1999, that protects the intellectual property of people. That needs to be revamped. It was done in 1999 before Al Gore really finished inventing the internet.
a little dig there. I hear that.
I know. But it's the same thing as the DMCA. I mean, it needs to be, it's been around for how many years now? Since what, 2001, 2002? It's time to kind of overhaul it, retweak it, refine it, see what the abuses are, where it's going out of control beyond its intended purposes, and where it's still valuable. So there's my noncommittal, knowing this entire conversation is being listened to.
Before we wrap up, we've talked about Boudigo. We've explained what that is to people, and you've always been such a good and kind guest. Why don't you take a second and explain what wasteland.com is, what people can find there, and unless Angie wants to come along and do it, why don't you explain what shh.com.
Okay, or maybe I can proxy it for.
Okay.
Start with Wasteland, though. Wasteland was our very first site. We started in 1994, quite as an accident. Angie had a mail order jewelry catalog, and we started like a light bondage, like leather corsets and things like that, just a mail order catalog. In 1994, that new thing called the internet was coming online. And you know, we said, well, what if we put up the pictures of the pretty girls with their boobs out on this new internet thing? Maybe somebody will order a mail order catalog from us. And within 6 months, we discovered porn on the internet and learned how to process credit cards and all of that stuff. So, you know, by the time we get to 2008 or so, it was a viable business with a staff of 14, full studio, starting to produce movies once it got bandwidth good enough on the internet to be able to do movies. And it's been going strong ever since. We pride ourselves on it being an authentic bondage or BDSM culture site. So, yes, it is hardcore bondage with sex in it, but it's with lifestyle couples. It's not beat the porn star and stick a thing in her butt until she cries, like some of the kind of shock BDSM sites, which I won't name any, but some people will know exactly what I'm talking about. I call it the flog and fuck school of BDSM filmmaking. You know, our stuff is authentic. It deals with consensual, negotiated, erotic power exchange between a true dominant and a true submissive that are both completely connected to each other. So that's Wasteland. And do you want to be a disembodied voice and talk about Josh? She said, "Go ahead." And
I'll correct you.
I'm gonna put a disclaimer on this that I have very, very little to do with SSSH.com. Mm-hmm. Angie and a group of very talented women started the thing out. You know, I do help out. You know, with various that and the other things, but you know, they really want to kind of keep the testosterone out of there and have a site created by women for women. But I'll proxy it in here. Angie started SSSH.com in 1999 after a couple years of going to adult porn trade shows and saying, well, where's the porn for women? And all the male pornographers says, women don't watch porn. And even if they did watch porn, they wouldn't buy porn. Women got more sense than that. There's no market there. And she's saying, that doesn't sound right to me. So over the course of a year and a half or so, in 1998 through 1999, pulled together a group of women photographers and sex educators and a sexual anthropologist and writers and photographers, and just started building this content archive to launch with that, you know, they felt would be not what women want, but what they kind of thought the packaging would be for it. So, and it's not to say that they're making nothing but kind of rehash versions of Harlequin novels, you know, and then the swarthy pirates hook her on the boat to the Caribbean, and with the soft focus. And with, no, they've got stuff in there that's every bit as hardcore as any porn on the internet, but it's done kind of through a female perspective. There's connection between the couples. There seems to be some reason that people are having sex. It's not like chopping off the guy's framing at the chest. So it's this disembodied dick pic, as it were. It's got a different filming style that's much more inclusive of the big picture and the overall interrelation or relationship of the couple while they're engaged in whatever they're doing. Okay. And that can range from soft focus Pirates of the Caribbean all the way through really crazy, crazy, you know, pretty extreme sex, because women like that too. And one thing that we noticed is she's been polling the members since 1999 as far as what, you know, what they like, what they don't like, just to try to get an overall big picture of what, because they're creating things to supply what the members want rather than dictating to the members what they think they should need. And I looked at the data because I did the same thing on Wasteland. Male porn surfers, you know, they like big butts, they like big boobs, they like blowjobs, anal. Yeah, that kind of covers most. When it comes to women, there's 175 different things. You can't even imagine how diverse women's kinky tastes and desires are. It's fascinating to watch. So, you know, whoever said women don't like porn, I cry bullshit, because they sure do. And 50 Shades of Grey let the cat out of the bag for every Susie in Nebraska to discover she had an itch she wanted to scratch.
All right. Angie, how did he do?
From a scale from 1 to 10, I'd say maybe 7.58.
All right. We'll take that. I think Colin is pretty happy with that. So,
so folks. Nobody gets 10.
Well, you get a 10.
No, I don't even get a 10.
That was very nice. All right, so folks, listen, if you are over the age of 21, and you damn well better be if you've stayed with us this long, you can visit Colin Roundtree's sites, wasteland.com and bootigo.com. And ladies, you might enjoy his wife Angie's female-oriented adult site, shh.com. SSSH.com. Three S's, then an H.com.
Oh, and let's spell Boodigo too.
Okay. BOODIGO.com.
There you go, Bob.
All right. Colin and Angie in the background there, thank you both so much for joining us again on Mr. Media.
Okay, Bob. Thank you very much. I hope to come back again. Tie it up with Jim at Mr. Skin.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Do you like good stories? Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry and some make me sad and some make me laugh, and isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at buzzburbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Weekday mornings right here on the Realm Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the George and Tony Entertainment Show. Prepare for awesome mediocrity.
We're the Cousin Oliver of the Realm Network. I'm George.
And I'm Tony.
And we're a weekly family-friendly podcast about pop culture.
From our point of view.
At RealmNetwork.com. The George and Tony Entertainment Show. From the Realm Network.
This is Snake. Do you read me, Otacon?
Loud and clear, Snake.
Did you listen to the latest episode of the Gaming Marathon on the Realm Network?
Of course. They really know their stuff about gaming, especially that Usid guy.
Yeah, but that Chirac guy is a real jerk. I don't like him.
Regardless, their reviews are spot on and they tell it like it is.
That's for sure.
What happened, Snake? Were you spotted?
Nah, it's just Lowell Meltzer crying about the O's again.
Close call.
I better continue the search for Metal Gear, but keep listening to the Gaming Marathon each week.
You got it, Snake.
New every Monday afternoon right here on the Realm Network.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk and they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
And what you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
These are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot. Just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
Resistance is futile. It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network. And catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights.